Hey, Andy.
How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing? This is Dan.
Hey, Dan. Yeah, having a good morning here. Just taping a couple episodes. So thanks for having me on, for sure.
Hey, great. What episodes are you taping? Are you doing Andy Dare Show, or are you doing the Smooth Operators?
I'm doing an Andy Dare Show, actually, with a guy from Chicago. He had a cable access show in the late 80s and early 90s called Pulse. And I had never really heard about it until, the Smashing Pumpkins, they just put out a deluxe box for their Pieces of Scariot album. And he's got, like, the bonus DVD portion of it. It's, like, a crazy rare show from 1988. You know, like, Billy's got the full hair going on. It's just totally old school. And so I just reached out to him, and he was more than willing to do it for me. So that should be fun. That's going to be next after this.
So he actually recorded it?
Yeah, he was the guy who recorded it back in 88. And he said he's had, like, Smashing Pumpkins were not even, like, the biggest name he's had. He had a whole bunch of, like, you know, national bands, international bands, just in this little tiny, like, basement studio in Chicagoland. So it should be awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. You're doing a new show. Let's just talk about that real quick. I've got a few topics. Let me throw them out there. I want to talk about Smooth Operators with you.
Sure. Okay.
Vacationing up north. You're down in Chicago, which actually isn't that far away. The vacation destination for the Chicagoans.
Sure is. I'm actually taking a vacation next Sunday through Wednesday to New Buffalo in Michigan. You know, that couldn't be more south Michigan.
You're heading down around the other way, around the armpit.
Exactly. I used to go a lot with my family and stuff. It's kind of just almost like Jersey Shore for Chicagoans. A lot of them, like none of them live there year round. The restaurants close for the winter, months, but it's a good time. So I'll just enjoy relaxing.
Is this a Lake Michigan shoreline community?
Exactly. It's right on Lake Michigan. And, it's a beautiful view going down the middle of, you know, like the main drag down like downtown New Buffalo. And, this episode I'm finishing now is going to be my last for 3 weeks. 'Cause I'm going to be refiguring the whole website out. I've actually got a theme song coming and, let's see. I'm just going to drop it on your podcast. I haven't even said it on my show yet, but
great.
Rich Banks is the guy who does the music for Corolla. They call him Dick Banks there a lot.
He did
Alison Rosen's song. He's done a David Wilde song. They're all spoofs and they're all really hilarious. And he did my show about 6 months ago. And he's just been a good friend, back and forth, just always saying nice stuff. And I just got the inkling one night. I just went to the computer and wrote an email to him. Hey, I'm sick of my little chintzy Casio beat intro I made 3 years ago. Any way I could get a theme from my man Rich Banks? And he emailed me within the hour saying, sure, just give me some time. So
nice. Is he doing that? Is he a professional sound man, or is he have a day
Yeah,
job?
He does the sound and he does all the instruments. This guy is just incredible. And yeah, I'm sure you've heard some of his songs just throughout the Corolla years. He's been doing it since 2006 with Corolla. He even had a Danny Bonaducci song back when they were on the radio for that 1 year. But yeah, that should be a cool new thing to look out for. I'm trying to have the new site ready for the first week of September if everything goes as planned.
So a relaunch, and then you've got some big interviews coming up. I guess I should mention to the UP music scene listeners that Andy's podcast is kind of music focused. You got a lot of people from the music industry, the entertainment industry.
Yeah, pretty much. Like last week I had Matt Walsh, and he's actually a pretty famous guy. You just don't know him by name. He started out with the Upright Citizens Brigade, and then that was like an improv troupe in Chicago. And Amy Poehler was one of the members from SNL, and they had a Comedy Central show for a couple years, and then he just pretty much exploded onto movies. Like, no leading roles or anything, but he's had bit parts in The Hangover, Elf with Will Ferrell, Old School. He's got a thing in there, and he's even in Ted, which came out this summer, too. And the guy's just really nice. He's got his – I know there's probably a lot of Packers fans that listen to this podcast maybe, but he's got a podcast about the whole Chicago Bears experience called Bear Down. And just a total nice guy. He was really easy interview. Turns out he grew up in Darien, Illinois, which is like about 5 minutes away from this house where I'm recording this now. So it was really cool to get a local guy who's actually made it.
Yeah, I just listened to that episode today, in fact.
Yeah, it was cool because he actually, I found a tweet about 3 weeks ago or about a month ago saying, hey, Matt Walsh is doing a live podcast from like one of my favorite little tiny bookstores, just, you know, another 5 minutes away from me. So I said, sure, I'm not working that night. I'll go over there. And there was literally only like 15 folding chairs, you know. So it was me and pretty much most of his family all there to check out his podcast.
Did you sit next to his dad?
I sat next to his dad. He was just a real cool guy. He brought out printouts from the internet, you know, probably about 90 years old or years young, if you will. And yeah, they all supported, bought DVDs. It was really cool seeing that old Irish Catholic, you know, supportive family out there.
Well, since we're on the topic of your podcast, tell me a little bit about getting these guests on there. I mean, do you do some Twitter stalking, just some emailing? I mean, what's the best way to contact with like a celebrity?
Yeah, the way I've been doing it now is I try to never take it to the point of stalking because I've had a couple guys where I've really wanted them bad and they've just been so busy and I really get the I have a good sense of when I'm getting, you know, taking it overboard or just bugging them about it. So once I get that, you know, sixth sense that, hey, Joe Shanahan's getting annoyed of my, you know, messages on Facebook, then I lay off and I say, hey, let's reapproach Joe in 3 or 4 months down the line. That way I stay in his good graces, and that way I can still possibly get an interview with him down the line.
Yeah, just make him aware of it. Don't get blocked. And then
exactly.
Just
like,
gently,
well, like 90% of the guests I get, it took about 2 or 3 messages back and forth, and they were booked. It doesn't take too much if you know that they like to talk, they like to be friendly, they like to, you know, spread the word about their latest thing. It's not that tough to find people willing to do that. And, yeah, if you get your Skype worked out and everything like that, I couldn't see why you couldn't have, you know, people from around the country shoot around the world if you wanted.
Well, hey, let's talk about vacationing up north. I guess I'd like to try to connect you to the UP. You know, Chicago's not that far away. A lot of Upers travel down to Chi-Town and a lot of vice versa, I guess you could say. I know back in the day, the UP was like a gangster's paradise. A lot of stories going around about the Chicago gangsters coming up and hanging out and partying.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, my father-in-law played in a band back in the 60s, and he has some stories of some shows they did.
Who, any bands, like, do you remember the name? Or
the name of his band was just called the Rhythm Rockers, but they were like the best group regionally.
Nice, Northwoods group.
They'd stay, and one of the guys, when they broke up and then they retired, one of them just kept doing music, and he was down in Florida kind of doing the one-man band. It's cool. And that's the logo for the UP music scene is a picture of their band. It's an old time, almost black and white picture, and they're wearing plaid pants and playing a gig at one of the local restaurants.
Yeah, I saw that. I was wondering who that band was.
Neat. Yeah, and my father-in-law's on the far, I guess it's the left of the picture, playing a lead guitar. So we still jam in the basement here. He'll whip out some of his old time licks and we'll have a good time.
I think I would like to be in like the Northwoods supper club circuit for some weird reason. I mean, like I used to go to the Northwoods a lot with Minocqua. Are you aware of Minocqua?
Yeah, I've been to Minocqua. I have. Yep. I worked for a company that was like a national company, and one of our guys was located in Minocqua, and I headed over there to help him out. But a real nice area, it's definitely like the summer destination for some, I've heard, some rich and famous people. So.
Yeah, like back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s when I was going, it was still like not too tapped. It was like we didn't really know anybody else from the suburbs up there. It is a good 7.5 hours drive from my house. But it was such a getaway. You know, you have a pontoon boat, have a speed boat, you know, go to restaurants that are on the lake via the boat. I always miss that. And I was saying I really miss, you know, the 4th of July's. You know, floating on a pontoon boat, you see the fireworks in the skies, it's reflected in the water. That's something I'll never forget.
And oh, yeah.
I
was that a family
experienced
camp?
That for a while. Yeah, it was my uncle's house, and he had a house right on Lake Minocqua, and we would just go every couple months, it seemed like, or at least twice a year.
And I heard a recent Chris Farley story from you about Minocqua, that he was doing something at like a summer camp.
Yeah, it was a rumor. We haven't really totally got it figured for sure, but it was a rumor throughout the town that he was at a camp that was like right around the bay on Lake Minocqua. And we would always think it was just this abandoned summer camp, kind of looked kind of creepy, like ghosts would just have a camp there or something. But I guess that was the truth, that Chris Farley spent some summers of his adolescence up there.
Nice.
But yeah, there's good restaurants. Bosacki's is a good restaurant. There's just like supper clubs, and it's just a, you know, a good time to get away. And I would always go to the local Pomida, which is there a version of Kmart? I had never
heard
of another one.
It's an offshoot of Shopko, if you're familiar with Shopko, which is like a small Walmart. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And the Triggs. Which we don't have there. Don't have it down here at all. Or I think that might actually still be there. But I'd go and get cassette tapes. My parents would give me one cassette tape per vacation. I would, you know, just sweat trying to find out which tape I should get. And if it didn't get the right one, I would just be devastated for the weekend. But
oh, yeah.
I remember getting Oasis. Definitely, maybe. Get the cassette of that. Some Soul Asylum. Bunch of good old stuff from back in the day there.
Your summer tapes, huh?
Exactly. Yeah,
I remember that. We went to... have you heard of Mackinac Island?
It's kind of sure. Yeah. Don't they have good Mackinac Island peaches?
Mackinac Island fudge.
Fudge,
yeah. And horses. I guess there's no motor vehicles on the island. But I remember going there one summer with the folks. And it was more just a weekend thing. But I had my Quiet Riot tape. And
nice.
I don't think I had headphones.
Metal Health.
And I just had the little, like, the tape deck that you would listen to, like, your Star Wars story on tape. And I had my Quiet Riot plugged into that and just remember blasting that on the little cheap-ass tape deck.
That's funny. I did the same thing with no headphones, just this little one speaker that came with it.
Yeah, one mono speaker. How about UP? Did you mention that you had done some ice fishing up in the UP?
That was actually my Fleecast friend, Ryan Trembath. He's now in a cool band called Flea Market that I was in for a little bit. Check them out on Twitter. That's Flea Market Band. I don't know if they're too active on there, but they got a great original sound and an English singer, too, which is weird. Yeah, he was the one who would go up every winter, I believe, or every spring to go ice fishing with his grandpa. And he took some awesome pictures. And it's definitely a bonding moment for him and his grandpa. Like that, I don't really have that with my grandpa. We wouldn't really want to hang out by ourselves for a weekend in a little shack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it looked cool, and I was like, "Yeah, I kind of would like to do that once."
Yeah, those are good times. So, yeah, and you were involved, I guess, in the early days. You started out with the Fleecast, right? Is that with those guys doing a podcast?
Yeah, that was did the Fleecast from like 2010 to 2011, and I just got out of the band, so we stopped doing the podcast. And unfortunately, they kind of stopped doing the podcast too. They kept it up for like another 6 months without me, but I just checked it and it's not up anymore. I think he said he's got all the files saved if they want to relaunch it. But they've just been focusing on the band thing, and I've just been focusing on doing my own show because I fell in love with the art form kind of.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I connected with you. You know, I was kind of doing some research on I'm big into 90s, the 90s alternative scene. That's when I was in high school, and Steve Albini came up. And I was listening to your podcast, and I thought, I wonder if Andy has talked to Steve. And sure enough, I Twittered you, and you came back, and you had an episode that you directed me to.
Yeah, Steve Albini is just one of the best. I mean, his bad rep like precedes him always, but he is just one really cool guy. And actually, the episode that I'm posting this Saturday, I had two in the can already. So the one I'm posting this Saturday is with a guy named James Greer. He played bass for Guided by Voices from 95 to 97, but that was when they had some classic records. And he had an awesome story about Steve Albini that I won't share on this, but it just tune in on Saturday if you like Steve Albini, if you like alternative 90s music. So
very nice. We'll look forward.
He was an editor at Spin in the early 90s, and that's how we got in touch with Guided by Voices. And he just spread the news that Spin is going out of like the printed form. They're just going to be an internet only thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then he said, I guess they had gone to bi-monthly, and then now they're just totally ceasing the production of actual magazines.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was trying to get back into music here a few years ago, and I got some magazine subscriptions. And sure enough, the magazines is like, I think Blender might have been one of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I don't know how good they were actually, but they at least list oodles and oodles of bands to check out. You know, here's our hot list of bands, and with the internet, I mean, you can get a good idea who's out there and listen to whatever you want. But the magazines are disappearing.
That's true. And Greer said it's not really a sad thing. It's just that it's so much nicer to, like, if you're reading an album review, to be able to like take a listen to a clip or play a little bit of a video, mm-hmm. To get further introduced to the group.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads into the next thing I wanted to ask you about, and that's Chicago regional podcast. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to contact you was because I'm up here in Upper Michigan, and I don't, there isn't a huge group of podcasters up here that I know of. So I wanted to try to connect with some people close by, and relatively speaking, Chicago is like the closest area. I couldn't find much in Minnesota, but there's always like a public radio presence, and Sound Opinions is one of my favorite podcasts down there. Any luck
with
Greg
Yeah, I think it would be cool to like just, you know, hook up with podcasts in the region. I there's got to be some in like Minnesota or Wisconsin. I can't believe that I'd be the closest one, but yeah, it's always good to talk to somebody that's, you know, in a region from around you and, you know, build a relationship that way.
Yeah, have you connected with any of the other local ones there? I've like, here's some of the ones that I've found. Fearless Radio. There was a guy, a Youper up here who had put out a record, and he went on their show. They kind of
I reached out to them. As far as their show, I haven't found too many bands or people that I've been too interested in pursuing.
Yeah, it's kind of like once the bar bands that are coming to town, and they'll have them on and kind of give them a canned interview. You know,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, Sound Opinions, that's the most professional. That's they set the bar for sure.
Yeah, definitely. How about the Fuckcast? FUCAST.
I don't even know of that one. That's out of the city?
I think they're in Chicago. There's a couple of guys that 2.5 episodes, I'd say.
Yeah, the only ones that I really know of is the Steve Dahl Network. Like they recently went to a paid subscription-based podcast, but they're definitely building a good network with James Van Osdell. He was like a major player in Q101 back before that collapsed. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Matthews, I've been doing a music minute for him. He's a pretty much an 80s like radio like legend. If you actually check out, they post archive shows. And there's been an archive with them and Sam Kinison back in the day, them and like REM way before they even made it. Like just really cool. A bunch, you know, flashbacks to the 80s and early 90s. And they're still doing it now, which is pretty cool.
You know, if they ever, I listen to Howard Stern quite a bit. Is that one of the stations that he would probably bash on? Do they have any like footage of or any audio clips of getting bashed by Howard Stern?
Yeah, because they go back and forth saying that Stern might have stole some of Steve Dahl's stuff because they're both from about the same era, the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but like they're stealing
bits? I like them
bits?
Both. I think they're both legends, you know.
Okay, nice.
I'm actually more of a Corolla fan than anybody, Adam Corolla, you know.
Oh, yeah, and that's another topic if we have time here. I'd like to ask you about Adam Corolla. But what on your music minute there you're doing, I have not checked that out, but what can people expect from the music minute if they tune in?
Well, if they tune in, it's just going to be like, it's really quick. It's just a 2-minute quick, rampage through the week of music. It's hard to fit stuff in 2 minutes. And, when you first said it's got to be 2 minutes, it was tough. And I'm starting to get a little bit better at it. And I told him that's kind of why I like Twitter, just because it's just quick phrases. You got to get to the point. You can't really ramble.
Is that something that you pre-record or that you, or do you go on the line live with them and chat?
I've done it both. I've done online or via phone, and I've done where I, like most of the time, I just re-record my, or pre-record it and send them the file.
Cool. But you're getting opportunities. I'm assuming that's because of the podcast, right? I mean, or your interest in music, that you're able to get other opportunities like that and smooth operators and kind of branching out with things?
Yeah, he offered me that when he had heard that I had interviewed his son, Kevin Matthews' son, which his name is Trevor Manier, and he's trying to become a hotshot guitarist out in like Southern California. Oh. So when he heard that I had done that, and he listened to it and he liked it, so then that kind of broke the ice, and then we've just been doing it, you know, every week or every other week since then. And as far as smooth operators, that's my new thing with Tyler Kale. He's a real funny, like kind of actor guy, model guy, a West Coast kind of guy, and. But he's got a real quick humor, real quick wit about him. He's done a couple episodes of my show. So instead of just having him back all the time, I figured, hey, why don't we just do a bi-weekly show? Just keep it at a half hour. Just talk about what's new. And we're going to be trying to rig up cameras so you can actually see us in the moment.
Yeah, I hope that works out for you. I've heard that trying to capture the video takes up lots of space and power, computing power.
It's got to be, because I've already tried it twice. We've done 2 episodes already, and like it'll work for a couple minutes, and then it'll just start having glitches, and then you can't really use it. So I just take the audio and put up a picture with it.
Okay, not bad. Adding on to that last question, what kind of opportunities have you found for yourself with the podcasting? What kind of doors have opened up for you? I know you, I mean, just the fact that you can connect with people out in California and people in the music industry, maybe some idols and that. I mean, besides being rewarding just personally, do you have some, if you end up in California, do you got some couches to land on?
Yes, I certainly do. And yeah, that's a good thing to have just in case. And I will eventually go out there. It's just I've been, you know, trying to build this little, I hate to say pirate ship like Corolla, but I've been building it piece by piece and just trying to get good guest after good guest. And yeah, that's like my major enjoyment is just being able to relate to somebody that's been around the block a couple times. Like I feel like kids in like the generations before, you know, like the younger generations, they have no like reverence or respect for generations before them. It's almost cheek to like not know about like World War II or not know about what happened before you're born in 1991. But I think I'm trying to be different than that. And I've always respected musicians and bands before then because I feel like there's such a lineage of you can hear people's like influences from the 80s and bands from 2000s, and it's all just a continuum. And I just really like gleaming knowledge from people who have some experience in that.
Well, hey, I'm just getting into the Adam Carolla show. I'm aware of Adam, followed him. I loved the Man Show. That was great. I didn't get into Loveline too much. I kind of missed out on that, but yeah, I was kind of following him on interviews on Stern, and then he started his own podcast network, and I've caught a few shows, but probably have the same problem where most people do with the everyday format. It's like if you miss a few, you might as well wait for the next one, does he go 2 hours?
Yeah, he goes about 2 hours, I think, 5 days a week now, so.
Okay.
You have to be a diehard, but I don't know. I like just turning it on right before I go to sleep or just late in the day. I find I can get through most of it.
Tell me about your connection to that show, because it seems like are you like at super fan status, or are they aware of your interest in the show? I know you've talked to a lot of the people involved with his podcast there. You know, we got like is there Bald Brian and a Matt Fondelier?
Yeah, I got Matt Fondelier, Bald Brian, Adam's wife Lynette.
Giovanni?
Superfan Giovanni Giorgio. I've had his producer, Gary Patrick Smith. And Katie Levine, who used to produce for him. I just was been a Carolla fan since 95. I loved Loveline, actually. I was like the perfect age for that. And I just followed him through his career pretty much. And like, I lost touch with him when he went for just California radio for about 3 or 4 years, about like 2006 to 2009. And when he got fired from that job, he started the podcast, and I've been an even bigger fan since the podcast, you know, hearing him talk whatever he wants to talk about, not being force fed, you know, guests or awkward sponsors. It's just it's almost very punk rock how he started it in his own garage.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody around that whole like Ace Broadcasting or Carolla Digital is what they're calling it now, is totally super nice and easy to approach and very humble, even though they have the number one most downloaded podcast in the whole world. And it's a Guinness Book world record that they have set there.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Have you been to the studio, or do you plan on making any trips out there? Or?
No, I haven't been to the studio. I would love to. Probably planning it for like maybe winter time when I'm down, you know, I think when I got some time this winter, maybe. I heard it's pretty easy if you just drop them a line, and yeah, I know most of the people there, so I think it shouldn't be too much of a problem. I met Carolla at one of his stand-up gigs about a year ago, and totally nice guy. He took time to take pictures with everybody, even though it's like a drunken mob of people. He gets through every picture, you know.
So if you were, do you have any aspirations for becoming one of the guys, if you were to head to California with a plan, would you like take up an internship? Would you take up an unpaid internship with the Carolla show just to be involved with that? Is that something you'd be interested in? Or
yeah, possibly. Or if I was out there, maybe try to pitch my show to different networks. I mean, there's networks that are slowly evolving. This is still sort of a new medium, but they're slowly starting to build into networks. and maybe just pitch my show, maybe a network that is missing a music voice.
Okay,
would pick me up under its wings, and I'd keep doing my show either way, so that they see that I'm not just in it to get picked up. I'm just I'm doing it to do it. But if I get picked up, that would be even better.
Would you have a handle? If you were, you know, like they got Bald Brian or a Porcelain Punisher, what would Andy Dare be?
I'm trying to think. It's really tough because those are such good ones. Maybe Corolla would be the one to don me my name.
Yeah, like you'd have to hang out there.
I would have to take to the grave.
Something would happen, and then bang, there it is, and then you're stuck.
They catch me eating crackers or something, and then I'd be Cracker Boy or something. You know,
it's Chicago Cracker Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. Well, how about the future of the Andy Dare Show? What do you got? You say you're breaking her down for a couple weeks, 3 weeks, taking a little vacation. You're going to retool and start it up again. What, I guess from the past, is it your second year on this now, two seasons?
Yeah, it's going to be my third season coming up this fall. And in between then, I'm going to be, like, my website only allows me to keep 20 episodes, and then I have to archive the 21st episode. So I've been having complaints about that. So I've been transferring the shows onto YouTube, which is nice for people that miss them the first time around. They can go check it out anytime.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of kudos for my episode from February with this guy called The Ed, AKA Ed Miller. He's like a 59-year-old black man, and he's just a very hilarious sports guy meets just kind of like a creep meets a hilarious comic.
I've heard of The Ed. Yeah,
he's just insane. And my episode with him, people were starting to actually complain to me when it got taken off my iTunes. So I was like demanded to put that one on YouTube. And people have been checking it out. So I'll be doing that with a lot of my earlier episodes so they just don't get lost in the ether. You know?
Yeah, and like I said, I've been trying to just get into the Adam Carolla show, and having some of the old episodes with some of the guys involved with that would be cool to hear. Like I was listening to Pod Gods with Giovanni and Lax Dude, and I thought, well, that'd be cool to listen to Giovanni on the Andy Dare Show, but I couldn't find an old episode.
There you go. I'm going to be putting those. I got two episodes with him, one from like May of last year and one from I think like March or February of this year, and they're good ones. I just got to, like, I don't know how long of a file like YouTube will allow me to put on, but maybe I'll do parts one and two and three or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I do get people asking about old episodes. It's nice that people are at least doing a little bit of research, trying to check out what I was into before what they just heard, you know?
Yeah, and who is Lax Dude, by the way? I've been listening. I got into the Pod Gods, and then I've heard some controversy, and I think he didn't appreciate your Ed Show suggestion on the Pod Gods episode, and I heard you talking about it on the Smooth Operators a little bit. And I mean, there's nothing on the guy. He's just like hit up the message boards and critique, or?
Yeah, I believe so. He's in like British Columbia, you know, and I guess he's a family man. Other than that, I do have his real name because I got him on Skype, but no. I wouldn't want to out him. But,
you can't out him, man.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a lot of, there's not a lot of knowledge about the guy. He kind of seems shrouded in mystery a lot.
Yeah, at first I'm thinking like the comic book guy on The Simpsons, but then I don't think that's the right picture to paint. I
can't even tell in that picture. The avatar on Twitter, I can't tell either. That's something different. It's kind of like The Ed. They're both, like they're trying to say that they're not real. Like Lax Dude saying that The Ed's not real. And I don't know. I think The Ed is real. If you ever check out The Ed Show, it is actually very awesome. And last week he did the Ed Olympics, which is hilarious. It's just potty humor, you know. It's okay. Pre-adolescent potty humor done by a 59-year-old man. And you kind of feel sorry for him. You laugh most of the time. It can slightly be offensive, but I think he's just doing it for good times. And the guy was totally nice. He actually hit me up to do my show. That was the first guest that I've ever actually been asked to be on
show. Nice. Yeah, I've heard of him, but I haven't checked out the show. I'll have to listen to it and see. I've been, per the Pod Gods recommendations, I'm deep into Roderick Online and back to work with Merlin Mann and his podcasting.
Nice. Yeah, I heard about those two. They got me into The 40-Year-Old Boy, too. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I haven't picked that one up yet. I tried it a little bit, but didn't get into it yet, so.
He's also from a suburb out here, too, so that he might be available to come on.
Is he living there right now?
No, he's out in L.A., but he's from Romeoville, Illinois.
Well, yeah, it's good to have that connection. I guess that would probably get a lot of people to consider it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we already went back and forth talking about it. He's just pretty busy, so.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's about all I got. I have a few miscellaneous items. I know you have to get on to your next interview, but maybe we hit a couple miscellaneous items, and then I say thanks to Andy Dare for being on the UP Music Scene podcast.
Sure, sounds good. Bring it on.
All right. You're always talking about Uncle Bubs on there. And you're making me hungry for Uncle Bubs, but we do have a smoked pig restaurant up here. Pulled pork.
Do you? Nice. But I'm a fan, you need that. Yeah.
I'm a fan of the North Carolina pork. Is that the North Carolina seasoning rather than the sweet barbecue? Is that something that Uncle Bubs offers?
Unfortunately, no. Ours is more Kansas City style, kind of sweet. So you're talking about more vinegar-based
sauces?
Yeah,
it's like a vinegar, spicy, it kind of has a bite to it, probably some peppers in there.
The thing about Uncle Bubs is we got a wall full of sauces from throughout the country. So there's something up there for if you want to quench that Carolinian barbecue flavor.
Okay.
We've got everything up on that wall. But it's the real deal barbecue. The food speaks for itself, and I stand by it dearly. Barbecue is just such a spiritual thing for me. It's important. It's not what I want to do for the rest of my life, but I do treasure barbecue. That feeling that you get when you smell it cooking, there's nothing like it. Nothing beats it.
Yeah, it smells good. Good stuff.
No vegetarian girlfriends for Andy Dare.
Any, you know, if the barbecuing, gets old and the podcast and doesn't pay the bills, do you have any aspirations there? You're by Chicago. There's got to be lots of opportunities. I mean, besides... Would Andy Dare ever jump into a factory job?
Here's the deal. If the podcasting goes away and the barbecue fails, then it's landscaping for Andy Dare. He's going to be part of the 8-man crew and go around cutting the lawns of rich people in the Chicago suburbs.
That's not bad.
There's no second chance. This is just what I want to do for sure.
That's not bad. A little landscaping, yeah. Little snow shoveling in the winter.
Except you haven't seen me. I'm very Irish, and I'd probably have to cover up if I was in the sun, you know, every day, Monday through Friday.
Burnt like a lobster, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. I've had to deal with that.
Well, all right, I'll let you go, Andy. Thanks for being on the UP Music Scene podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast. I could have done this a lot longer. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, we can chat again anytime. That's fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, if they want to follow me, it's Andy Dare, AndyDerer. I'm most... prevalent on the Twitter. You can check from there. You'll get most of the other information. TheAndyDareShow.com. Weekly episodes there.
Oh, yeah. And I should also say thank you for promoting the UP Music Scene and Dan's Acoustic Garage on your show.
Sure. No problem.
That was real nice.
You guys been spreading the word too. So it goes back and forth.
Great. Well, hey, have a good day.
Have a good one then.
All right. Talk to you later.